Thanks. Well, the Lord has spoken. Now I feel pressure. I'm being recorded. thanks, Pete. Thanks, John, for the reading. Isn't it great to celebrate? I have a reason to celebrate. And Ezra is as good a reason as any. It's great to have you here if you're not normally at this church. We're currently going through a series which we're calling Resurrection Reality, where we're looking at, exploring the importance of the resurrection, which we celebrated on Easter Sunday, and what it means for us today, what it means for us going forward. And in many ways, given that earlier we dedicated a new life to God, this morning's title is an apt one, because we're going to be looking at living life to the full, or as other versions, living life abundantly. And obviously we want that for little Ezra, as much as you want that for everyone else, that the life which he's going to lead, he lives to the full, or lives abundantly. Or as the message puts it, folk can have a better life than they ever dreamed of. And living life to the full, living it abundantly, is one of those resurrection realities. One of the things that can happen because of the resurrection of Jesus. But what exactly does that mean? And how do we obtain a life such as this that's being mentioned by Jesus? That's what I want to very briefly look at this morning. Because that life is available to anyone who chooses to follow Jesus, anyone who chooses to accept him into their life. And I guess my focus this morning is just on the very last verse that John brought to us, verse 10, which says, "The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they," that's the sheep that Jesus looks after, "I have come that they may have life and have it to the full." Throughout the whole passage that John brought to us, Jesus is basically saying that there are people out there in the world who would seek to lead others astray. Thieves who would come and send the sheep in wrong directions, who would effectively steal, kill and destroy the lives that they could otherwise have. And in contrast to the thief, Jesus is like a good shepherd who cares about his sheep, who wants the best for them, who loves them, and has come that they may have life to the full, abundant life. Now, if you're from this church, you know that I am no farmer. But I know, even in my simplistic terms of farming, that a shepherd guides, leads and protects the flock under their care. The sheep know the voice of their shepherd and trust them. And they make sure that the sheep have nourishment by guiding them to places where they will get it. And of course, for sheep, that nourishment is physical. For those with Jesus as their shepherd, that nourishment is spiritual. It's for our entire well-being. Instead of guiding us to fresh pastures for physical food, he guides us in the way that we should live. He nourishes us spiritually and protects us from the one who would otherwise steal from us. And in doing that, deprive us from truly living a fulfilling life that we could have. Now that said, what I have to be clear on is we're not promised in the Bible that we won't suffer as Christians, as followers of Jesus. We are, however, promised that we won't be alone through anything that we face. That we have someone who has and will continue to carry us through any troubles that we have. And we can release those troubles to him and trust the one that holds the entire world in his hands. By having Jesus as our shepherd, and the one that we can turn to, we can find a bit of peace in our lives. And quite frankly, there are many people right now who need a bit of peace in their lives. And then we're freed up to better live life to the full, as he, as Jesus, desires us to do. You know, Jesus says in Matthew chapter 11, verse 28, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest." This great shepherd that we have leads us with him in times of trouble and difficulty, in times of stress, and brings us peace and rest. And I know throughout my life, there have been times where I have been so thankful that I have somewhere to go to find that peace and that rest. And we also know through reading Psalm 23 that he will take us and lead us beside still waters and will restore our soul. If we allow Jesus into our hearts and into our minds and into our whole being, then we can have life and we can have it to the full. So how do we live this life to the full in the way that Jesus mentions here? How do we live it abundantly? I guess the first thing that we need to do is identify who or what is the thief or thieves in our lives. That's a crucial first step. We need to identify, as we just sung, who or what we need to surrender to God. Because in our lives, there will be many voices and activities and desires that compete for our attention. You know that. Ones that often promise happiness and fulfillment, but more often than not, prove to be empty promises. And whilst we strive for them, we aren't fully living the life that we could do. When we follow the one who is a thief, we can seriously lose out. We can lose out on joy, on happiness, on our well-being, and most importantly, we can lose out on a relationship with God. So what might be a thief in your life? There are many that I could have listed, I guess, but is social media a thief? Do you spend too much time on social media that takes over your life? Are you a compulsive shopper and you have to have the latest of everything? What takes you away from God? Maybe the thief in your life is a little more subtle. Most of us have to work, but do you have a drive that means you want to progress in your work to earn as much money as you possibly can, meaning that you don't have time for other important things in your life? These kind of thieves can skew our priorities. We might have a full life, but we might not be living life to the full. Sometimes it's a good thing to stop, to step back, and just review where we are spending our time, where we are focusing our priorities. What are we desiring? And then once you've identified the thieves in your life, the next step is to set the right priorities in your life. If you really want to benefit from the resurrection reality of being able to live life to the full, to live life abundantly, then your priorities have to be centered around God. And don't get me wrong, this isn't going to happen overnight. This will be a lifelong process to get this right. But it begins with good intentions, to center our priorities around God and what he wants for our life. It begins with us prioritizing our relationship with God so that he can reveal his plans to us. The plans which lead us to living life to the full. Even the ups and downs of life. We sang earlier, make room to do whatever you want to. That is what we need to be doing if we're going to truly be living life to the full. And God will help us with that. But our part of this deal is to clear the way in our lives so that time with God isn't just good intentions, it's a concrete reality, because Jesus makes it very clear that our source of true life comes from him. If we don't accept him into our life, how can we expect to have the full and abundant life that he promises here in John 10:10? When we follow this one who is the great shepherd, we are filled with peace. We're filled with hope. It draws us to the loving heart of his Father. It renews our spirit. And it helps us live a life of spiritual fullness, of spiritual abundance. And there will be many people here and at home who know that, who have experienced it for themselves in a short time of being a follower of Jesus, or maybe having been a follower of Jesus all their life. To live the John 10:10 life and experience that particular resurrection reality is to live a life committed to Jesus. It takes discipline. It takes continual devotion to him. And it takes a life rooted in Scripture, in God's Word, in the Bible. When we choose this life, when we ignore the many thieves that surround us, we can look forward to having that life of spiritual fullness, abundance, hope, and peace. You know, God's desire for every one of us here, for everyone on this planet, is not to merely to exist or cope with our circumstances, however good or bad they might be at any given moment in time. His desire is to live life, but to live it to the full, to live it abundantly with him. That we can only really, truly do if we're living it with Jesus in it. My prayer is that's the life that Ezra will lead. He's getting close, he's almost one. He is still a young life. And we pray, God, that he's got many years ahead of him, but that he lives that life to the full. Now, I'm confident, actually, with Katie and Joel as his parents, that that will happen. But my prayer today is that this life that's being referred to here is one that we all seek to live. Is one where, if we know Jesus already, we seek to know him better so that we can live life exactly as he desires us to. Or if we don't know Jesus at all, it's one that we then begin to question, should we? Will we lead a fuller and more abundant life by having Jesus in it? Will we experience that greater peace even in difficult times? We have times of difficulties with finance, with health, who knows what it is. We can have his peace with us. So if you are someone here, I don't know everyone here today, but if you are someone here who doesn't know Jesus, but wants to know more about him and that life he can lead, then please do speak to me or someone else from this church before you go. He is, as John read, he is the door to that life. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that you gave us Jesus. And some of us, myself included, came to know him late in life. But Lord, we now understand what this verse in John 10:10 means. Father, help us to commit ourselves to you and our relationship with you. Help us to prioritize it so that we can live life to the full as Jesus promises. I just pray that you be with each one of us as we consider your word today. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. During our next song, if those of you have got youngsters in any of our groups out the back, you might want to make your way